Where is it? We're close enough for government.
Yeah, thank you.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the meeting of the Development and Environmental Review Committee. Today is February the 23rd. It's 10 o'clock. I'm Oliver Mojica from the Planning Division.
C. Chaco, Land Development.
Gary Akers from Land Development.
Mahmoud Tildor, Public Works Traffic.
Robert Spoller, Public Works Engineering and Design.
Ted Brunson, Water Department Engineering.
James Lynn, Environmental Protection.
Elizabeth Mora Rodriguez, Planning Division.
Travis Martin, Planning Division.
Melina Perez Ramirez, DERC Secretary.
Gracie Johnson, Public Works Integrated Waste.
Sarah Pearson, Fire Department.
Okay, thank you. First item, Elizabeth, would you kindly introduce that item, please?
Yes, first item is Minor Use Permit 17-02. It's a request to allow the establishment and operation of an automotive repair facility within an existing commercial building containing approximately 9,290 square feet on a site comprised of two parcels containing a total of approximately 0.53 acres. The property is located at 327 East Redlands Boulevard within the commercial general CG1 zone. The Planning Division has determined that the item is categorically exempt pursuant to Section 15301, Existing Facilities of the California Environmental Quality Act. Our recommendation is to adopt Resolution Number 2017-015, adopting the mitigating negative, adopting the categorical exemption and approving Minor Use Permit 17-02 based on findings and of fact and subjects to the recommended conditions of approval.
Thank you. Do you have anything you'd like to add to that, Elizabeth?
Yes, I wanted to let them know. Here's a copy of the draft resolution. Once we go through the approval process, then I'll send you the final signed.
Okay, and this includes the conditions?
It includes some of the conditions, yes. That's why it's just the draft. It doesn't include all of them.
Okay. Is that it, Elizabeth?
That is it.
Oh. Yeah, we can let the record reflect that Todd Morris arrived at 10:02, please.
It was 10:01, but to be accurate, because anyhow, Todd Morris from Building Safety, I am in the house.
Here we go. Welcome.
But thank you.
C-Chan, would you like to start us off, please?
Okay, sure. So for the non-CAT WQMP was received and there's a minor comment. I will provide comment back to Elizabeth. Elizabeth should be giving that back to the applicant soon. The site should keep good housekeeping of the BMP practice of the automotive repair. Also, the light should be in working condition prior to CFO, and a lot more is required for this project. No further comments.
Thank you. Gary, anything?
Nothing additional from last time. We said that no traffic impacts are required.
Perfect. Ted?
Nothing.
Thank you. Robert?
There's nothing really much on the outside other than ADA compliance. Make sure that the driveway and the entrance into your parcel has ADA compliant.
Okay. Thank you. That was easy. James? Anything from us?
Is an industrial user permit for the service base? Are you going to add a car wash?
No.
Are you renting of the cars?
No.
And there's also the plan check procedures for environmental control.
Okay. And these are stuff that we do following the approval?
That's correct.
Just as part of the process. And what does this entail exactly?
That's going to entail if you're going to have the service base, any industrial wastewater discharge to the sewer,
okay,
you may need pretreatment prior to discharge the sewer.
Oh, yeah, no, we don't do any of that. I mean, in terms of drainage or anything, it all goes into secure containers.
And that's what you'll put on the permit application.
Okay, very well.
That's it. Okay. Thank you. Gracie?
So the site has an existing refuse enclosure that needs to be modified to meet our standard plan 508, 8x15 interior dimensions enclosure for the bin storage. You'll also need to add gates. And you'll work with land development on any ADA access requirement modifications. But the location that
The existing one is in, is fine.
Sarah, you think for fire?
Is the building going to be used for any commercial buildings, commercial cars at all?
No.
No?
No, we're just doing regular auto repair for...
Okay. Okay, then it's standard conditions for us. I think you already have it.
Yes.
And I did put those conditions in as well.
Thank you. Todd?
Yes, sir. Standard comments, again, separation we'll address during, you know, the plan check process, just between your you know, the sales office to the actual services being done. But again, that's just be standard plan check procedures. But nothing stands out at this point.
Are you doing any tenant improvement work? I thought you were just moving in.
Stick on a peg.
You're just moving in, right?
I mean, we put in floors and counters. That's all. And paint is all we're going to do. Everything else is staying exactly as it is.
There was just a C of O, I think, process, if I remember correctly, that we need to...
Yes. They would need to do the certificate of occupancy.
Correct.
Yes.
For the change in use?
Just for the occupancy?
Just for the occupancy.
Okay.
Right.
All right.
That's all I have.
Thank you. Do you have any questions of any of
the
members?
If you wouldn't mind giving us a second to read this, this is the first time we've seen it.
You got two minutes.
Luckily, I'm a fast reader. Do you want to extend it earlier than that or no?
Are they not allowing Sunday hours?
That was just based on the hours that you gave me.
Okay. Here, why don't you make this easy? Which one do you think I'm going to be worried about?
Well, in terms of the planning division, they're all just general standard requirements for maintenance, signage. If you're going to put up new signs, you need that's a separate permit process. 24-hour removal of graffiti,
okay.
Any kind of
sprinkler.
That would be through building and safety.
Do they need to? Are they going to need to sprinkler the building?
Is it?
No.
Currently sprinkler? No. It's a change of use, so no. If you're adding on anything other over 12,000 square feet,
yeah, we're not touching anything.
Yeah, it's only 9,000, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
If you hit 12, then you sprinkler it.
Okay. Okay, but this condition says provide sprinkler requirements, so...
If you go over that 12,000
okay,
square footage, yeah.
Okay, just want to make sure.
You never know.
And with regard to the ADA access, who got...
Robert. Are you talking about on the building, or are you talking about outside of the building?
On the building, I think, is easy for us. So outside. No, I'm talking about the sidewalk.
Sidewalk. That's ADA requirements. Yes.
Okay. So the are you requiring that cutout?
There needs to be a ADA bypass behind the side behind the driveway.
Okay.
And anything that's the prolongation of your property line. So if there's a sidewalk that has tree well, power pole, anything of that sort, you have to make sure that you have the 48 inches clearance going around those parts, those
okay.
items.
So here's the issue that we have, and I think most of you have been out to the property. On flanking each side of the driveway is a city power pole, and one power pole is on the property in front of the property of the gas station. And so, if we do the cutout, whoever's coming in with a wheelchair or any other type of accessibility issue is going to roll right into or run right into that pole. So,
your parcel is the only one that we're worried with. The other parcels, as they do any type of improvements or changes, they will also have the same conditions.
Okay.
So it's only in front of your parcel that we're worried about.
But that is directly on our property.
The pole?
Not on, I mean, within our,
right.
our property.
Right. Well, what I'm saying is, I'm not talking about the other properties. I'm saying if we do it, it's not going to provide access because they're going to come off and there's no way to get around that pole because the neighboring properties cutout doesn't start until... You know, a foot past that, and it's on both sides.
I have to piecemeal it, per se. So as yours is what we're going to condition on, the next door neighbor, keep on going down. As they do improvements or build or whatever, they will have those improvements also. If I don't do yours and eventually they get that done, then yours will be the blockage. So I have to start with somewhere or all locations. As they do improvements, you're required. And it's not only through us, it's also through the state, I believe.
Okay, and on timing on those issues, I'm sure most of you know kind of the situation, but timing on that issue, is that something that's within the 2-year period that we can do?
That's going to be something that we can all work with. I'm not sure on that one.
Normally, we specify some of our conditions, say, prior to certificate of occupancy or
right.
or something. It just it,
so it we depends. What here's our goal is we'll do the trash enclosure and work on the ADA issues. We just need to get open. So if we can have time to and be conditioned such so that you give us the adequate time to perform those improvements, because my client's been out, you know, 9 months due to circumstances and that probably you saw in the package. And so we just, at this point, are bleeding money. But if we can put it as a condition of approval and give us some time so we can operate, get the funds, and make those improvements and tie it into the approval, that'll allow us to do those things. As many of you know, that we have our shop in Loma Linda up the street, and so we're very familiar with the ADA requirements and have hired a CASP inspector. Unfortunately, we weren't able to do that before we got here because we really are concerned about the accessibility and those poles and whether a CASP inspector would sign off on it and say, no, you don't have to do this because of this X, Y, and Z. If it comports with the state or federal law, we would just like the opportunity to provide that report to you and say, look, here's what they're saying. We can't do it, but we'll still, in compliance, we can still get our certificate if we do this or that.
My question is, if we do a 1 month, a 6 month, a 1 year, or 2 years, and it's not done, what happens?
Well, along those lines, it's my understanding that there's never been a certificate of occupancy for that building, even the prior owners.
We have no idea what they did.
Prior operators. Right. And so what's going to happen is once you make your application, building a safety, fire, and planning will go out and do your, you know, do our inspection. We don't know what's in there. And we don't know what the conditions are. So there may be some things that from a fire, building, and safety standpoint that need to be modified or improved in terms of the structure or the facility itself, you know, as an example. There may be a punch list or something of sorts, or correction list, if you will, that states, well, you know, before we get a certificate of occupancy, you need to correct these items,
okay.
You know, kind of things. There may, you know, I don't want to give you worst case scenario, but we don't know what it is yet.
Okay.
You know, kind of a thing. And so there is an opportunity for a temporary certificate of occupancy. We don't like to just deal those out, you
sure.
know, willy-nilly kind of a thing. And so if it's something that where more time is warranted, I would recognize the sensitivity, you know, you want to be in there to continue the operation kind of thing. But I think the main things that we will look for initially are the life safety items.
Okay.
So those will be critical at first, and once we come to a conclusion that it's okay for people to be in there, then we can have that conversation about the temporary certificate of occupancy, and then we can give you, so you can open, and then we can give you a timeline of when some of these other things need to be corrected, whether it's building safety items or the item, of, you know, as it relates to the handicap thing. I don't know whether bonding is a thing that's an option for if you need a little bit more longer time. You know, certainly it's not an opening day condition, I guess, is what I'm saying.
Right. Yeah. If I can interject real quick. This use has been out here. The original use was never approved. I think speaking with Elizabeth, at one point it is what it, you know what I mean, it's acting as a service center. Concerns are from a building and you know, interject from a fire perspective is first thing, you know, what your separations are. And there's an accessibility issue. So again, just because the use was there doesn't mean now we're changing it that the use can still, I mean, we have to verify that it's gonna be a safe use because now we're gonna occupy it, it's been brought to our attention, we just need to make sure we can correct it. So that path of correction is potentially maybe going out there and doing a site visit, you know, figuring out a method, but I think maybe we've set something up on the side, you know, have my inspectors out, fire inspectors out. We can take a look at and come up with a solution.
Okay. And so today's approval will be for the use, and then there'll be follow up inspections and temporary CFOs and permits and all those kind of things.
So this allows you to go to the next step to make those applications.
Okay.
For your occupancy and for those inspections.
Okay. And when you spoke about a bond, what was that about? In case that we need a little bit of extra time to make any of the corrections, is that something that we post with the city and
yes.
they hold it?
Yes.
Okay. And what is that bond generally, and what time period does it cover? And when do we have to get that bond? Because, I mean, as I look through the conditions very quickly, and again, I haven't had the opportunity to look at these before today, it says that all the construction will be done within 2 years. So if that's the time frame, that's fine. I'm just not sure if that relates to what...
You have to start within 2 years. It's a two-year approval. It means that you have to... That's typically for any project.
Okay.
That's a standard condition where it's just like, well, you need to start construction within 2 years of the approval.
Okay.
In this particular case, it doesn't mean that everything has to be completed within 2 years. It just means that you need to start working towards opening within a two-year period.
So I think the question is opening, not
right.
those working now and being functioning. So again, it's a little different in this type of use. Normally, I think what Oliver is interjecting that once we give approval, we have 2 years to complete the project. Well, the project technically is there, but now we've now got to fix up the minor issues of, you know, certain items that we want to make sure that, one, it's open to the public, it's safe for the public to, you know, to frequent, and, you know, and same thing with any improvements in the public right-of-way or concerns that you have accessibility, we want to make sure that that meets minimum code.
Sure.
I want to make sure you understand. Those conditions need to be met before you occupy,
correct.
Typically. Anything other than that, if you can't meet all these conditions prior to occupancy, then obviously life safety has to be met. But also, anything that's remaining would need to be bonded for if there's a consideration for a temp COO.
Okay.
I want to make sure that's clear.
Okay, I mean, is everything bonded for? Or I mean, because here, I guess
anything that's remaining.
Anything that's remaining.
On this set of conditions.
Okay, that's because I think the only thing that, I mean, we just, and we thank all of you first. I mean, we understand this is a unique situation,
right.
and you guys have all done a courtesy to us, to our client. So we really appreciate that. So our biggest thing is we just are bleeding every single day. So we... Our goal is obviously life and safety is the most important, so please tell us when you want to come out so we can get that knocked out first thing. But we just want to get open as quickly as we can. And any of the major improvements, like tearing up our front driveway or the trash can, which is not that big of a deal because it's kind of off, we just need a little bit of time. And we need to be able to be operating to generate some income so that we can take care of that. We understand a life and safety issue. I mean, I think that's we're not messing with that at all. I think that needs to be done. But in terms of any of these material improvements, I would just ask for as much time as you can give us to get that done. And also allow us the option for the accessibility issue to get, if a CASP inspector comes up with an alternative where we're still in compliance with state law, that doesn't require us to do that, that would be an option. I'm not saying that it is. I'm not a CASP inspector, but I've worked with plenty, and so sometimes they are very creative. Or if we can get that certificate, then I think it protects you, and then it protects us as well.
Now, there's give and take. When it comes to CASP, there's a give and take. That's
yeah.
kind of the factor is what's the best to give somebody from the public right-of-way into the front door of that building. And
sure.
that's kind of how CASP kind of functions. And obviously there's some... credit that you get and some subtractions that'll apply. But we could set up a time, I think maybe there might be one of these where we set up a separate meeting and have one of the inspectors go out, maybe a fire inspector go out, take a look at the building itself,
okay.
give you some direction and hopefully, you know, like I said, get you up and running. I mean, the last thing we want is a vacant building
right.
in our city. We want you guys productive and producing and be a part of our community.
But should they apply for a COO right away? Is that the first step as far as building life safety?
Well, I would feel a little bit more that we're on a level of understanding what we need to do first. It's not necessary. Again, this has been operating kind of without a COO. We're trying to make the corrections while you guys are coming into the new building.
Right. I mean, essentially, it's been operating the way we want to operate it, and then we came in to get a business license, and this is what happened.
Right.
Basically.
Right.
And yeah, I mean, and we, in the package we include, I mean, that we have a separate issue with the realtor and a separate issue with the seller and a separate issue with, you know, all that kind of stuff. And all that depends on what happens between us, because obviously we're doing everything that we can to mitigate our damages. I mean, our point is to try to get the place open.
And we could. I mean, we could.
So what's their application? What's their next step?
Well, we could. I mean, we could apply for a CBO application.
Okay.
What that does is then it's going to blast out to everybody that you see sitting in front of you to go out and give their comments back. So at that point, fire will go out. I know Public Works, everybody else will interject on it. Land Development, Planning will then interject on that request. So I think that might be a good step. You know, I think they'll be heading the right direction.
Okay. And the comments, would they be any different than what we already have from everybody?
Yes. Maybe. Yeah. You know, again, we don't know, again, because this use, we were never privy to the use. And somehow, again, it just happens, things morph, and not a hindrance. We just now want to make sure it's right and it's safe and that, you know, you're productive.
Okay. Sorry, as I'm just pouring through this real quick again.
And keep in mind, a lot of it's a broad brush stroke when we give the conditions. This is general conditions we would give for a new project that's coming in. So again, it's one of those weird catch-22s where it's a new project, but it isn't a new project.
Okay.
It's already there. Now it's a legal non-conforming that we've got to just make sure that it's going to meet what the use is intended for.
Yeah, I mean, then I think we all understand where we're coming from. I mean, I think at the end of the day, we were worried about a couple of things, and we're not worried about them anymore, based on what we're talking about. I would just, again, just give us as much time. Whatever certificate of occupancy application, even today, if we can start that process, I'll go downstairs and file it, because, again, with this approval, all we're doing is trying to get that finish line and get the place open.
Okay.
You know, because we've done all kinds of stuff that's hurting us with this place being shut down. Yes, sir?
Just be careful that if we give you a certificate of occupancy as a temporary, there is a monthly cost to that. Mm-hmm. And it may exceed what actual items are that you need to be dealt with. So look at what you're going to be doing before the winter. That is an option, so you don't have to do those things up front. But it may cost as much or even more if you prolong it every month after that.
Okay. So, yeah, I mean, and these are all things obviously we have to factor in, because right now as it is, you know, but his brother's selling his house so that they can continue to make the payments on this thing. So, I mean, we obviously are very cost conscious. And so, I mean, if it turns out where it cost us $20,000 to do the driveway, but if we prolong it, it'll cost us $60,000. Well, I'm just using, you know, figures. We'll do that. We don't want to delay it any more than we have to, because we have been the unfortunate victim of an ADA lawsuit. And so we know how that goes. And so we don't want to go through that again, which is why we're familiar with the CASP inspector. So we want to get it done. I just want to make sure that we have a little bit of time, just so we can kind of put some eggs back in our basket so we can start doing the things we need to do.
We'd be more than happy if we're done with this meeting, come down and talk to staff. We'll make ourselves readily available for you to help guide you through the process. Again, fire life safety is first.
Okay.
Accessibility comes in second. So if we do that process, I think it's something that we could kind of help facilitate and get it through.
All right.
Okay.
Anything else? Anyone else? Comments, questions?
Mm-hmm. Our recommendation, as Elizabeth mentioned, is to adopt Resolution 2017-015. May I entertain a motion, please?
So moved.
Second.
Unless there's any objection, congratulations.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much. Again, I think I speak for Romney. Elizabeth has been really gracious to us during this process. We were panicked when the brothers came in. I wasn't here, but they were completely panicked because this is their life savings that they invested into this building. They built a great brand in just up the street in Loma Linda, and we're really excited to be in the city of San Bernardino. And we understand what you guys did for us today. So we really do appreciate everything that you folks have done, and we look forward to continuing to work with staff to try to get this thing knocked out as quickly as possible.
Great. Welcome.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yeah, more items?
Yes.
Okay.
Two more.
Two more.
Yeah.
We'll wait downstairs.
Sure. In fact, go ahead and check in. Sure. Just see how they are tomorrow, right now. They should be fairly light, but go ahead and check in. Let them know that you just came from DRC and that set a meeting for me, okay?
Okay. And can you remind me your name?
Todd.
The late guy.
I did. Come on, all of them.
Thank you, guys.
I dismiss myself.
Travis, if you would introduce item number two, please.
All right. Item number two today is Development Code Amendment 17-02 and Conditional Use Permit 17-06. It's a request to amend Chapter 19.06 of the Commercial Zones Chapter of the Development Code to allow relocation of existing pawn shops within the city subject to a conditional use permit, and then subsequently to relocate an existing pawn shop in the city. The proposed location is 415 West 5th Street, Suite E. This is the southwest corner of 5th and D. This business is relocating one of the ones in the mall currently that we're trying to get out of the building for the larger project. Categorically exempt, subject to Section 15301 of CEQA as an existing facility, and we are looking to move this to the Planning Commission with the meeting coming up next month on the 15th.
Good, thank you. As Travis mentioned, this is one of the businesses that's being relocated from the mall, and so we, in order to accommodate them, we're also doing a code amendment to allow that down so they can keep in business, you know, kind of a thing. And so so our recommendation is to move this item to the Planning Commission. Anyone have any comments they'd like to add, or that they're going into it's an existing center?
It's an existing developed center. I think all the other suites, I believe, are occupied. This is just the one at the end that was sitting vacant.
Is this a rental or a purchase?
They're not purchasing the center. I think they're just moving in. I think
okay, so they'll be a tenant space.
Yeah, they're a tenant of the larger center.
Okay. Because if they're the owner, then I would ask for dedication on...
This is really, it's just like any other use moving in. They're going to be doing some TI. They're trying to move and get their license. It's just for the fact that the current code prohibits pawn shops existing, permitted, new, whatever. But because of the mall project, we're working with them to...
So we're only doing the code. We're only doing the code change right now?
We're doing the code change and the conditional use permit. Currently, as an existing pawn shop, they wouldn't be allowed to relocate by any means.
I'm more worried about the use itself.
The use, we're still doing the CUP along with this to establish them, because the code amendment will allow their relocation subject to a CUP. So it's both parts.
And they're on 5th Street?
They're moving to 5th.
5th and D?
Yeah.
The southeast, southwest?
Southwest. So kind of catty corner from the post office there.
The donut shop,
a couple other little things in that.
Do they have accessibility? Their driveways, are their driveways accessible? Oh,
I am not 100% sure.
Now, if it's a tenant, do we require them to have that?
That's been the question. If it was a by right use and it was any other tenant moving in, we would just say it's an existing facility, there's no development, and it would have been done over the counter. Because of the issue with the code, we're having to go through the larger permit, but
there's a right in, right out.
How's that handled with accessibility? So we've got a multi-tenant center. I think there's, four or five tenants in there?
I believe it's six.
The donut shop and a couple of other things. I don't know what y'all remember. The donut shop and nothing else. And so they're just moving into one of the bays.
Right. Okay.
One of the tenant spaces. And so what triggers...
Isn't it dollar amount on the TI?
Yeah, the dollar amount on the TI. I think it's a 143,000 some change. So
I don't think it's going to be that much.
I don't think it'll be that much. So generally, it's just a minor TI. I don't think it would even impact land development. It would be a building permit solely. So
and this building does it? Oh, well, we do TIs in house. There are TIs done in house typically.
For that one, we can. But even if we went to Wilden, it would be a B permit only.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we would just verify that the parking would be, meets minimum code. And that's what we would look at, the path of travel from public, you know, public right of way.
So I'm asking, are the driveways, are they ADA compliant? And would that be required?
It appears that they are.
Would that be?
There's a driveway on Fifth, driveway on D. The Fifth one does look like it has the bypass, and the sidewalk on D is, you know, the double width. So you've got the approach and then a full landing. It still lines up with the sidewalk. So it appears that they are compliant.
Yeah. So generally, we wouldn't require, you know, the entire site to be redeveloped based upon that. If somebody, it's an interior TI change out, we wouldn't request that. It's just gain access into the unit itself.
Right, okay.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know if this is applicable or not, but the refuse enclosure, as Travis knows, is substandard. It's not an 8x15. What could happen as locations are worked with to be in compliance with AB 341 mandatory commercial recycling, they may end up with a recycling bin sitting outside the enclosure in the parking lot. So the reason we asked for the 8x15 is to accommodate two bins. Right now it's a single bin 8x8 enclosure. So those are our comments, that just standard comments for any project that isn't meeting the standard, they would need to modify the enclosure.
Yeah, that's gone along with the larger question of
one tenant leasing
a space in a larger center, are they on the hook for for everything?
Okay.
Yeah, generally, I mean, you're just doing, it's a storefront changeout. That's all we're doing.
That's what it is, and it's just.
So why call it a CUP?
Because of the restriction in the code. Currently,
because the use of that center is probably functioning under a CUP?
Because
pawn shop.
Pawn shops are currently identified as a prohibited use in the table, or in the commercial section of the code. And it makes no provision for them relocate, other than URM buildings moving, which is not the case.
Right.
It really makes no provision for them to relocate. Because of the mall project, you know, all of the tenants are going to be out probably in the next about 4 or 5 months, I think it is. Business has been in there 20 years. We'd like to keep them in the city. Because of that, we need to modify the code to be able to allow them to relocate, but we don't want, at this time at least, we don't want to make it just a by right use, because then we would have any number of facilities just coming in to open up. So we're doing it as a conditional use permit for the relocation of existing facilities only.
Right, so with the CUP, I wouldn't state that we're going to hang them on the hook to redevelop the entire, you know, the entire parking or the site to comply with today's standards. We're going to look at it generally just as a storefront TI changeout, that's it.
Yeah.
With a condition that has a CUP because of the use.
Well, we're making it a CUP because it's still a restricted use.
Right.
We still want to have that oversight of it. We want the commission to be able to have that. We don't want to just make it a, you know, office. It's just by right anywhere. But then doing that, we start to open the doors to whether other things would be applicable.
Okay. With that, our recommendation is to move this to the Planning Commission. If I may entertain a motion, please.
That motion?
Second.
Okay. Congratulations, Travis. You get the name on.
Which meeting in the PC?
The 15th is the intention. They're supposed to be out of the mall by May, so we're trying to move this along briskly.
Next item number three is development permit type T-1701, which is a request to allow the development of two additions containing approximately 85,000 square feet and 9,000 square feet to an existing industrial building that contains approximately 60,000 square feet. The site is approximately 7.6 acres and it's located at 1212 South Mountain View Avenue. This item, we're doing an environmental review on this. At this point, we have initial study, mitigated negative declaration has been prepared, which needs to be circulated for the CEQA mandated 20-day public review period. The purpose of this item on the agenda is to simply acknowledge that this item is going to be released for the public review. Once that review period is completed, we will come back to the group.
Do you have plans on this yet? Are you in the site?
There are plans. If you may remember, this was also reviewed as a pre-app later last year. This is Mountain View and Riverview. Right across from the substation. Has that building that's right up to the PL on the one side?
I was expecting it to be the one further down.
No, this is that addition there, right across from the pallet yard on the left.
Office 11, just the tree.
Yeah. So, and to my knowledge, and if Chantal's handling it, I don't believe anything's changed on the plans from that period, other than, you know, maybe minor tweaks we had requested. It's basically the same contract.
Comments, questions?
Oh, yeah, there they are.
Just another big box.
That's what we need. So with that, just if we entertain, just to acknowledge that there's going to be release, if I can get a motion, please.
Is that a motion?
Second. Thank you. So we're next.
Thank you.
Was that Gary? Did you get that, Malia?
I did.
Oh, boy. Our next meeting is on the 9th. I think we'll have a couple of items, maybe?
We've a couple so far. Yeah. We'll be getting that put together today and get that out there.
Perfect. So this meeting is adjourned at 10:35. Thank you.
I'll stay here an extra minute. I'll make up.
He said it was 2.
Yeah, but I think it was 1. By the time I hit that door,
get on the chalkboard there. I will not be late.
I won't be late.